What's going on with it, everybody? Y'all just tuned in for another installment of the Grilled Cheese Podcast. And with me today, the very, very special guest, the legend himself, Mr. Doug Williams, everybody.
Hey, what's up, man? How's it going?
Man, it's a struggle, but we all getting through it. And I gotta say, it's an honor, dude. It is an honor for you to be up here. I didn't think, you know, you would be here. I know you're a very, very busy person, and I know you probably got a lot on your plate, but I'm glad you had the time to just come out here and kick it with us for a second. Well, just me, my co-host, we all doing the whole social distance thing at the moment, but she will definitely be here in spirit.
Always trying to support brothers and what they're doing, and you know, if I can, if it's within me, I'm gonna try to do it.
Appreciate it. But how are things going for you over there, though?
About the same, you know, lockdown. You know, it's a different way of living, a different life, lifestyle for everybody now, especially if you have kids who are in school. Both my sons are in grade school, one is in high school, one is in middle school, so.
Nice.
You know, take some adapting, but I think that by the grace of God, I think we made it.
Man, it was interesting though with the whole virtual learning thing. I see how some schools are like they're having to do virtual learning part of the week and then be in school part of the week. I get that, but like my biggest thing is like with virtual school. My question is like, all right, if you get in trouble and you're already at home and your parent right there, it's not really too much you can get away with, honestly. And then you already see some people in the news who got suspended during virtual school. Like, yo, how do you get suspended at home exactly? It's like, that don't even go together.
Right. But believe it or not, man, it's actually a little harder because the kids take it for granted that they are at home. Mm-hmm. They can just get up and go and leave and, you know, point the camera to the ceiling and, you know, all these crazy things. So I think it's more challenging for them to stay focused at home because they have so many temptations around them, you know. Yeah. So we constantly have to monitor them. So you have to stop what you're doing, make sure they're in front of the camera, make sure they're listening. So, you know, I did a video that went viral called Pay the Teachers. I paid the MF in teachers, so people can look it up on YouTube, or you can go to my Instagram feed, Mr. Douglas Williams, and you scroll down and you'll see the video I did, and that video was out of frustration of trying to keep my youngest son in line, so it was a spur-of-the-moment thing that everybody, at least parents, could relate to.
I'm going to definitely check that out. You're like, man, some of y'all, yeah, they have it easy. Y'all just get up, turn your computer on. Y'all know anything about getting up at 5 a.m. to get ready to go down the bus stop? Make sure you don't miss that bus.
Right.
I hope you didn't miss that bus. You had to wake your parent up for them to take you to school. Boy, you better hope you live close by so you can walk.
Right, that's right.
But I just got a couple questions for you right quick, though, because, like, usually I would do, like, my episodes an hour, but, like, due to the whole, you know, live thing, you can get, like, 30 minutes at a time. So my first question is, like, what actually got you into doing comedy exactly?
Just going to church at an early age, watching my pastor, in Montgomery, Alabama, just watching him inspire people and every Sunday, people come into church with worries, bills, problems.
Mm-hmm.
And having him just turn those situations around and having them come in one way, feeling one way, and leave feeling victorious at the end of the service. So I decided I wanted to do that. I wanted to uplift people, make them happy, make them forget about their problems, and I didn't know exactly how I was going to do it. I didn't think it would come in the form of being a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
But that was my first inclination that I wanted to get into show business.
Nice. That's the first I ever heard that, though. Like someone that they got inspired by church. And then it makes a very good point, though, because like most of y'all, you get a room full of people. You don't know what they've been through that day or that week. It's just the little laughter they get that gets them to the rest of the day.
Yeah, and you know, preachers are just, they have an ability, pastors, preachers, an ability to tell those stories, to inspire you, to make you laugh, to make you cry. You go through a whole gambit of emotions from watching a good sermon.
Yeah.
And all of them have that ability. You know, and that doesn't just include preachers, but it goes to bishops, it goes to Muslims have a minister.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so they all have that ability to inspire, tell us stories, and captivate us and hold our attention. So that was just mind-blowing to me, and I knew I wanted to do something in that vein.
That is nice. You've been going at it strong ever since. You've been doing a lot of things. You got a guest star on some TV shows. You got to work with some legends in the process. And is there like any advice or tips you would give to like young upcoming comedians, you know, to get them on the right track or try to get them to be more consistent?
Yeah, just always follow your dreams, no matter where you are. I was born in Montgomery, Alabama, a little small town that was, you know, to think about doing stand-up comedy, to think about Hollywood was far, far from the imagination, because, you know, we weren't exposed to that in Montgomery, Alabama. We didn't have a comedy club. There wasn't a quote-unquote entertainment place or entertainment vessel, a place you could go to expose you to entertainment, you know, live entertainment, acting, cameras, you know, the movies. So I had to really, really reach deep down to go after that. It's easier when you're in a city like New York or when you're in a city like Los Angeles, well, a major market city, to be around that. Mm-hmm. And being around that inspires you. But I didn't have that. So I always tell people, no matter where you are, what you're doing, always follow your dreams, give it 100%, and always try to keep God in the mix. And when I say that, you know, I'm not a squeaky clean comedian, but I come from humble beginnings. And never let anybody, because, it's, you know, when you go on and you do your thing, the internet is brutal. People leave comments. They try to trash you. They try to tear you down. Never let anybody tear you down, because God has the final say-so. And as long as you have faith in God and faith in yourself, keep pushing. And you have to believe in yourself even when other people don't, or it seems like everything around you is crumbling and falling down. So I always tell your young, aspiring, or just aspiring entertainers, believe in yourself, stay positive, don't feed into the negativity, and trust in God and keep it going.
Yes, sir. You got to have your faith, man. You got to have your faith. And, like, nowadays with the whole comedy game now, because, like, even over here, because I'm in North Carolina, and over here, some stuff has opened back, but not exactly the comedy clubs, really. And the one I used to go to, they were in the process of moving anyway. And then ever since the whole COVID thing happened, they just never reopened that, you know, the original spot. And now, like, I notice a lot of the people I've seen, you know, do stand up there, they just been doing it through Zoom, which is kind of, some do it through Zoom, some do it through Instagram Live. I'm like, is this where we are now in the world with this? Like, it doesn't feel like an actual audience anymore, though. It kind of does and it don't at the same time. Because, like, you are still performing, but you're not getting that genuine laugh back, like that actual human laugh right there.
Yeah, it's difficult, though. It's different. I've turned down quite a few engagements to come on Zoom and do stand-up comedy, or to just, you know, even to do Zoom on a podcast, because, you know, we become accustomed to that instant feedback and we feed off of it. And to not have it, in addition to not having done stand-up, I haven't been on stage since March. So when you put all that together, and people don't realize that comedians, you know, doing comedy is like anything else, a sport, boxing, football, anything that you do, you have to be consistent at it to become good at it. You know, so yes. If a boxer just stops boxing for 6 or 7 months and then goes back in the ring, and we can extend that to a basketball player, football player, mm-hmm. or whatever it is. If you just stop cold turkey and go months without doing it, and then when you get back into it, you know, you got to get back into the flow of things. So
exactly,
it's the same thing with comedy.
I definitely agree with you on that, because when I first started doing stand up, well, I'm still kind of in the midst of doing it. I started going to the club I would go to. The name of the club I went to was called Dead Crow. Shout out to him. I had to be at least like 19 to get in at the time, 19 or 20 to get in. So I just like anticipated that day. Like, as soon as I turn that age, I'm going to that club. And then as soon as I went there and got to read the room a little bit, because whenever I go there, I always sit in one spot at the whole club. I try not to, it's not that I'm being antisocial, it's just like I like to try to like get in focus for a minute. So I just look at people when they walk in, like, okay, I'm trying to see what crowd I'm gonna work with here, and which joke is gonna hit with who. So I get a chance to kind of read the room before the show starts, and then kind of pick my pinpoints. Some it hits with, some it don't, like any other routine.
Right.
And other than that, I just keep going back at it. I was going pretty constant at first, and then like work kept interfering with that. For those who don't know, it's hard balancing your life and your goals at the same time. It really is, because one will always overlap the other. And then I've learned at Dead Crow to never go last, because that's when the shit dies down. And you're down to like five people at the most. And then when you go on stage, you're like, you might as well just tell everybody it's time to go home, because ain't no point in you telling a joke up there. But then again, I got to the point where...
You know what? I often tell comedians, especially new and again, those are the best spots.
Really?
Because if you make those few people, you have to find the challenge in anything. Hmm. If you always have it easy, or if you always put in a position to win, then you can't grow. And when you do inevitably run into a difficult situation, you'll fold. So I always tell comedians, those spots when you go up and you're last and it's only five or six people left, then you really know how funny you are or how good your jokes are. Because if you make those people laugh, then you know that you've struck gold. Because at the beginning, everybody's there. They're ready to laugh, invested in.
Right.
But when those five, six people are left and they're tired and they're ready to go home, and you do something to make them laugh, then you know you're at the top of your game. So, you know, you have to find the silver lining in those type moments and use it to your advantage. Because if you can make them laugh, then you know that had you gone on first when everybody was ready,
right,
you would have blown that through the roof.
I never looked at it like that. Nah, I wish I would have looked at it that way before, because like I will always try to go first so I can go ahead and get it out the way. And then like there've been some moments where I was like fourth or fifth, but you know, I just tried not to go last. But I'm glad you gave that insight, so I know how to really cherish that more than versus going first. I've never looked at it like that though.
If I were you, starting out, how long have you been doing comedy?
I was just doing open mic mostly, trying to build one audience up and then move on to the next. I was going on and off it. I would say like at least a year or two now. I'm still learning, man, everything.
If I were you in the game a year or two, those are the spots I would ask for. I would almost intentionally try to go on last. Especially when you're training, because like I said, those spots will make you so good that when you go on first, second, or when you get those coveted spots or those spots that those sought after spots, you're gonna just blow it through the roof. And then once you're able to do that, when you do get a difficult spot, or you have to go on last, and let's say somebody's in the audience that can give you a break or that can help you, you're going to excel. Because too often what happens is you get so used to those early spots and so spoiled that when you do go on last, or you do have to go on to a difficult spot, you don't do well. Then you're crushed. You're crushed because you've been riding this wave. You've been killing it. And then all of a sudden you have a bad set and you're like, oh. But when it's the other way around, when you go on those, you know, lasts and you're working and working and working and working and you master that and then you go on first and, or you get those, you know, the prestigious spots or the what we call the good spots, then you're like, man, piece of cake.
Yo, so when you mentioned that, that's exactly what happened. I've had some bomb sets before, and then, like, I was crushed a little bit, but then again, that kind of pushed me to keep going back to get better. Because, like, well, I used to always record my sets so I can, like, see what I'm doing to try to improve in the next round. And then my brother would always tell me this. I didn't notice this until he pointed it out to me. He said, when I'm telling the joke on stage versus how I would tell it to him, it hits different when it's on stage versus how I actually originally said it. And, like, I don't realize I'm doing that when I'm on stage most of the time. But now that you mentioned that to me, I'm kind of trying to be more aware of that because that's happened a lot before. I can be saying something off the wall funny to someone else, and then when I try to say that on stage, I switch that around so much it doesn't hit the same. And I learned that my very first time going on stage. It was this one story where, I'm gonna pick on my dad for a minute, but my dad had called me in the room to take the TV logo off the side of the TV. I'm like, wait a minute. Now, of all the years you've been watching TV, this just now caught your attention, and I can't even do shit about this here. So I'm sitting here with the remote trying to dumbify how I can't do anything, and that whole moment, like, I was so shocked to be called in the room for something that stupid that I didn't know how to respond to it, honestly. And, like, out of all things I get called in the room for, that's the one that always stuck out to me. When I told that story on stage, it did not go out the way I intended it to. And I didn't get as much of a laugh as I would as much as I told that story to other people. So I'm trying to be more aware of how I'm presenting it.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, you just have to get comfortable on stage. And, you know, when you talk to your friends or when you're telling it to people that you know, you're comfortable. Mm-hmm. And then you lose that comfortableness once you're on stage and you're holding the microphone. So the whole thing about being a comedian is to get comfortable on stage. That's why it's so important that the it has to be repetitious. You have to do, it's like lifting weights, a lot of reps. The more reps you do, the stronger you get and the more comfortable you get. So everything with comedy is about repetition, getting comfortable, doing the jokes over and over and over till you find the sweet spot that works. So, you know.
Okay. In your opinion, I want to get your opinion on this because I haven't written out my jokes yet because I'm going to explain why I just want to get your opinion on this. Do you prefer writing your jokes out or do you prefer going off the top?
For me, my formula is I generally just, because I can't just write out a whole joke, you know. Mm-hmm. Doing that to me causes me to second guess it while I'm writing it. You're writing like, ah, man, this doesn't seem that funny. So what I do is I just do an outline. I put bullet points of the points that I want to make and what I think is funny. And then I just kind of go on stage and work it out. I don't just go up on stage blindly, where I just go up on stage and just start talking. I have a general outline of where I'm going. I put together a game plan, what I want to talk about, the points that I want to make, you know, what I think is funny. And then I go up on stage and I execute that game plan. I mean, it's almost like a playbook. But to write the joke out word for word, excuse me, I'm unable to do that. But once I find the rhythm of what works with the joke and how it's working, then I lock it in to how I'm doing it. And, you know, when you record, when you, you know, certain things that you're doing already that I feel are highly recommended for people starting out, recording your sets, you know, video, seeing yourself so you can see your mannerisms. Mm. But once I get a general idea of how the joke works, then I kind of memorize it and lock it in.
Oh, okay. Because, like, I never I never written out my jokes, and here's why. Because, okay, I'd done theater for, like, 4 years in high school, and I tried not to, like, have something I wrote to memorize, because it's going to be harder to actually present, I learned. It's harder to memorize what you wrote than what someone else did. And plus, it'll feel like I'm studying a performance. I'd rather just be natural. But then again, a lot of people kept pointing that out to me, like, you should try, like, writing your jokes out and stuff. Like, I don't know how that would be, though. I feel like I'm studying for a performance again. I'm trying not to have that feeling. But, like, what you just said is very, very different. I didn't think of doing it like that as an outline. That's very different. I didn't think of doing it like that. Because what's crazy, I'm sorry, what's crazy is that I perform for a living. Like, I love being on stage. I love doing theater. But, like, a theater crowd is kind of different to hit than a comedy crowd in a way. They're about the same, but kind of different. They both know what to expect and what not to expect, but it's easy to notice when you fuck up on one of them. It really is. When you're doing a play or whatever, not nobody can really notice it unless you point it out. With comedy, if you get stuck like a deer in headlights, then yeah, it's obvious you fucked up, don't know what else to say, because that's happened to me before. But it's kind of weird. I can perform fine during a play, but I can't quite get that balance when I'm doing it for a set.
And the goal with stand-up is to get to the point to where even when you make a mistake, the crowd doesn't notice it. You know, mm-hmm. A lot of times we give ourselves away when we freeze up, like you said, but with repetition, with doing it over and over and learning who you are on stage, developing a voice, then even if you do something that doesn't go over, or even if you quote-unquote make a mistake, then when you become smooth, when you become seasoned, the crowd doesn't know it, because we all still make mistakes when we forget a joke, or we tell the joke out of order, or we forget a part that goes to the joke. So, you know, I'm facing that now. Like I said, I haven't been on stage since March, so I'm going to have to get my comedy legs back under me when I get back on stage, trying to remember the flow, get my rhythm back, get my timing back. So I'll be facing that once I do get back in front of an audience. So the key is to be able to do it seamlessly without people knowing that you made a mistake.
Definitely. I'm going to definitely keep that in mind whenever stuff do open back up. Definitely keeping that in mind. Another question I have for you, because, like, it was a surprise to me, because I didn't even think you had a social media, honestly, until that day I saw you have one. Like, I was curious, like, how did you come across me exactly? I'm very curious to know that, though.
In terms of this interview, in terms of connecting on Instagram?
Yeah, connecting on Instagram, because I wasn't even expecting you to, like, respond to any of my content at all, or let alone look at it. But even when I saw, like, that notification come out, I was like, wait a minute, because I thought it might have been, like, a fake page or something, because everybody makes a fake page of different celebrities and stuff. And then when I looked at it, I was like, wait a minute, this actually him. I'm like, how did he come across my...
No, man, I actually, I'm not so big on social media that I can't check my messages. And, I generally try to read all of, whenever I post something, read all the comments, you know, like the ones that appease me. I always try to put a little heart, or I always try to respond. I always try to interact with the people, you know, in some type of, hey, hold on one second. Hey, you can come in. You know, it's not all members. I'm not, you know, don't think you can't come in. Sorry about some of my family members are coming in. They, you know, coming in seeing this light thing that I was doing something. But I generally try to respond to everybody. You know, I just feel like if I have the time, if I see it, then I respond. So, yeah, saw you and I respond. You know, I do the big things, but... If I can help someone out, if I can inspire somebody, if I can come on, you know, something like this, given I have the time, you know I will. Man, so I try to treat everybody the same.
Very much appreciated. I'm honored that you even came across my content at all, and I'm glad we kept contact. I'm very honored you got to do this interview with me. And there's one last question. I've kind of been dreading to ask it, but I know you probably asked it before. The whole, I came across you firsthand when I saw the whole Jamie Foxx roast. And I got actually, I was more inspired by that because you turned a bad situation into a positive because you didn't really let that affect you a lot. You still kept going and kept pushing. But my question with that whole moment is, how pissed off were you after that happened, honestly? Because, like, there's no way you can be that calm on stage without snapping after that camera got off.
Nah, you know, man, what people don't realize, you know, is that was early in the game for me, man. A lot of people don't realize how long ago that was. You know, it becomes relevant every couple of years because somebody will post it and new people will see it. And they think, oh, man, that was 20 years ago. So, you know, you were talking about earlier about going on stage, being new in the game, and, you know, having a couple of rough experiences. Everybody has rough experiences when they're starting out. The difference is that, you know, mine was a part of that DVD, and then once YouTube came out, somebody posted it, and it went viral. So if we could take, if we filmed every bad moment that every comedian had on stage and put it out, it will probably go viral like that too. So it doesn't bother me. It's part of my journey. I've embraced it. You know, people come on and they make those comments, I'm your conscience, and they think they're bothering me, they think they're hurting me. Listen, I just want to make this clear for everybody that's watching. When you do that, it really helps me because it keeps me relevant. So, because if people knew that it was helping me, if people knew the relevance of especially what it's doing now, because I had never come out and talk about it before, they would stop doing it. That's how people are programmed to think that they're doing something to hurt you or that they're doing something to embarrass you.
Right.
And, you know, recently I came out and, you know, I worked for Comedy Hype News as a result of that. I did Vlad TV as a result of that. So it's actually helping me now, and it's keeping my name relevant. And trust me, in Hollywood, there is no bad press. You know, as long as people are talking about you, as long as people are leaving comments, as long as people are doing those things, it keeps you alive for somebody to notice you and somebody to see you. So for all the people that want to come on and say, I'm your conscience, and right, you know, I got killed, I got destroyed. Guess what? I'm still here. And you are helping me to stay here. So keep the comments coming. It doesn't bother me at all. You know, I read it, I laugh. My kids, we all look at it. So I want that clear, man, because if you are making those comments maliciously, or if you think you're embarrassing me, or if you think you're hurting me, you are not. I'm not going anywhere. And I want to say this, man, going back to God. God has given me the ability, all praises are due to God, to go out and do what I love. I'm traveling the world. I'm making people laugh. I'm going places, different countries, places that I would have never gone. I'm from Montgomery, Alabama, a little small town. So for me to be doing these things, man, is a blessing from God. So nothing is going to spoil that. So all the shots they want to take, all the things they want to take, hey, have fun with it. Because at the end of the day, man, I'm doing what I love. And a lot of people, and that's why I encourage people, pursue your dreams and don't let anybody rain on your parade. Because there are a lot of people doing things in this life that they're miserable doing. A lot of times they're making huge amounts of money. But what does it profit you to gain the world and lose your soul? I'm having a good time, enjoying myself, so it doesn't bother me at all. I'm just blessed by God. And let me tell you something, man. What God has given you, nobody can take, and nobody can rain on or damp. So that's the message that I've been putting out there, man, and I'm having a blast.
Man, that's how you inspire people right there, though, man. That whole, boy, it got me inspired now. But, you're right, though. Any bad press that comes your way, turn it, flip it to a positive. And like one person said before, like, shout out to the haters. They're all my motivators. And
right.
And really, the more thing is, you think the more you keep trashing the person, then you must really admire them if you keep talking about them. So makes very valid, makes very good sense. But
right, yeah. I tell my kids that all the time, and I read the comments and they always leave them, I'm your country, you got destroyed, this the N-word that Jamie Foxx said. No, man, nobody's that powerful. I'm still here, like I said, by the grace of God, enjoying myself, enjoying my kids, enjoying my wife. And look, I'm doing this show with you, man. You reached out to me, and I saw it, and I agreed to do it, man. I agreed to come on here. I did. Last week, I was doing Black. He has, four million subscribers, and that interview has gone well into the 100,000. Yeah. And now here I am sitting talking with you, man. So that's the way I look at life, man. If I can cheer somebody with a word or song, if I can show somebody that they're doing wrong, then my living, Martin Luther King said it best, then my living has not been in vain, man. At the end of the day, you can't take, my father used to always say, you've never seen a U-Haul behind the hearse. So no matter how many accolades you have, no matter how much money you've made, you can't take that with you. But there is something you can take with you, and that's what you did on this earth to try to help other people. So that's what God measures, your heart and your ability, as Jesus said, to reach out and help people. So, I'm glad I was able to come on here, man, and spend this time with you and do your show. I wish you the best. Don't give up. Keep plugging away. And you never know what's going to happen. Just never give up.
Man, that's how you end the show right there, man. Y'all swear, you need to do a TED Talk sometime, man. I swear, that's the motivation right there. But I'm very glad and honored that you took time out of your schedule to even do this little project with me. Very honored, very glad we talked. And it's been an honor to have you up here. Very honored to even be in having a conversation with you. And if you have anything you got going on, anything you want to promote, now is the time to do it. Always give my guests time for something they want to promote. So... or if they, want to put out their social media out there. So the floor is yours, sir.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm telling everybody, I'm getting ready to start posting a lot of videos on YouTube. So I have a YouTube page. I think, man, it's funny because what your Facebook is, what your Twitter is. My YouTube, I think it's Doug Williams Comedy. I think if you type in Doug Williams Comedy, my page will come up. Please subscribe to that page. Obviously, follow me on Instagram, Mr. Douglas Williams. I don't know what's gotten into me, but for some reason, I love Twitter, man. Now, I've become like this Twitter guy, and nobody, my kids say, Dad, that's old. Nobody is on Twitter. You old. So, follow me on Twitter, Mr. Doug Williams, Mr. Doug Williams on Twitter. Or you can just go to my website, dougwilliams.net, and that should link you to all of my social media.
All right, will do. I got a Twitter, too. I don't even promote that much, because basically... With my Twitter, I'm like most old folks that got Facebook. I just got one just because I don't really do nothing on it like that. I mostly try to promote my Instagram though. But y'all heard it, man, Mr. Doug Williams himself, the legend in the making. Y'all make sure y'all go follow him. Make sure y'all show some support on his projects, his content. Make sure y'all watch them Vlad interviews, because I didn't tune in on them myself. Y'all make sure y'all watch them. And again, very, very big honor for you to be up here today. Thank you for taking your time to come out here. Very much appreciate it. Very much appreciate it. And thank you for dropping
this. Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me, man. I love the name of your podcast, the Grilled Cheese Podcast. Man.
Yes.
That kind of jumped out at me when I saw it. So.
I wanted to have something different. Well, I wanted it to be so odd that when you jump into it, you don't know what to expect. So, like, what the word is this? Right. When you listen to it, like, oh, I was not expecting that from this type of title. But,
Well, you did that. You definitely did that, good brother.
Yeah, and look, we're going to do better with this podcast, too, when time comes. Trying to get some stuff in order. In the meantime, this is how we're going to do things for right now. And, again, very big shout-out to the legend himself, Mr. Doug Williams, for coming through here. Make sure y'all go follow his social media. Don't forget to follow mine as well, at Another Black Comedian. Don't forget to follow the Grilled Cheese Podcast page as well. Please feel free to share this to wherever y'all want to share y'all stuff at, because this will be posted on this page, not my personal page. I'm trying to, whenever I'm doing a podcast interview, I do it on this page just so I can get it more active, really. So y'all feel free to follow all three of those pages. Big shout out again to Mr. Doug Williams for coming out here and dropping this inspiration knowledge on us, preaching to us today, because everybody could use some preaching word and motivation in life right now. And very, very honored, though, man. Very honored. I hope you and your family stay safe during this time. We all going to get through this together, folks. We all going to get through this together. Y'all stay safe out there. Thanks for having me, brother. Thank you. Y'all stay safe out there. Y'all make sure y'all wash your ass and wash your mask. And I will catch y'all on the next one. And y'all just had y'all daily serving of the Grilled Cheese Podcast.